I was too educated and too old to get saved. Those are words of a brain surgeon who was a professor in a medical school who held two degrees, neurobiology and biophysics. He said he never read the Bible. He only went to church when his wife, who was a devout Christian, nagged him into it. So I kind of thought he was one of those C&E Baptists. We come on Christmas, we come on Easter. But he said, I'd never intended to be a follower of Christ until he turned 52. And one day, he was taken by ambulance to the emergency room. And when he got there, the emergency room doctor quickly realized that he needed to be in the cardiac intensive care unit. And so he was taken there and said because of his medical background, he was able to read the different monitors and he knew what they said. He said he was going to die. And he said he hollered out in a voice that was plain to all, God, if there is a God, please send a messenger to me so I'll know where I turned wrong. He was in his room when this nurse came in, and she had this glow, this aura. And he said, are you a Christian? And she was somewhat kind of taken back, and she said, yes. And he says, tell me about your God. And so through the night, she spoke to him, verse by verse, and she led him to the Lord. It turns out later he finds that she was the mother of a pastor. And so his heart was changed at 2 a.m. in the morning. And he said that he was stunned. He really didn't understand this feeling he was going through, this inexplicable joy. And he didn't understand it. So that he asked her, he says, can you give me a Bible? And so she reached in the nightstand by the bed, pulled it out, gave him a Gideon Bible. And she said, read Acts. So he went to Acts chapter 22, and you read about this guy named Saul, who had an experience on the road to Damascus. And that's when he realized that he understood what had happened to him. And he was sealed as a born-again believer by the power of the Word. And this man goes on, he says, and he talks about how that changed his life. He got involved in the Gideon ministry. He held local offices. He held state offices. He went on extended action program missions where you go to a foreign country and for about 2 weeks you distribute Bibles any and everywhere that you can. He did those. He said he was arrested for doing what he was trying to do with the Word of the Lord. And he thoroughly understands now that he had saved murderers. He had been in the darkest parts of the world. He had saved men whose tongue he could not speak. Now, he didn't save them. The Lord saved them. But through the ministry of the Gideons, he was able to talk to them about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he said, he is a witness to the changing power that God's holy word has, and he's using that to glorify the Lord every day. So who were the Gideons? Well, as Don so aptly did for me, two men are here today that influenced my life, that got me involved in this ministry. Some 20 years ago, I'm from the Glades camp over in Belle Glade. We serve from Canal Point on the east side of the lake to Lakeport on the west, and it was a camp that was losing members. These two men with two others came and they rejuvenated our camp, and now we're a strong and very viable camp because of the work they did, because of the calling they had to increase this ministry. So I've always been, they have a special and fond place in my heart for what they have done to me. I'm going to tell it now because I'm going to tell it again later, but men, if you're looking for a place that the Lord can use you and you want to grow spiritually, I think as Sunday school teachers, because we study and we prepare to get the lesson ready to present to the class, we get more out of it. Same thing about Gideon's. You get more out of it when you start doing distributions. So who are we? Well, We're men, and we are born-again Christians. We are members of evangelical churches just like this one. We are men of the Word. We believe in the book. We believe in prayer. We believe in faith. And we also have a compassionate heart to distribute God's Word, go one-on-one with a testament, and give a testimony, our own testimony, and talk to people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We're able to do those things through the help of a church just like this. You people support us. We're nothing but an arm of your ministry. We're your outreach. You're going to Haiti. When you give to this organization, you're giving to Camp Gideon's in Africa, Europe, South America, Central America. We do five different things, and people think that Gideons are nothing but people that hand out Bibles. That is a big part of it. And we do it in motels and hotels, schools, public and private. We do it in hospitals, nursing homes, convalescing homes. We do it prisons, jails, rehabilitation centers, and we do it for the military. I still have my little black testament I got before I went overseas. This is Memorial Day, or weekend, and it always, well, the slideshow that you presented, I well up because of the memories I have of my years in the service. And I know that any man in here who's ever served, he doesn't remember so many of the bad things, he remembers the good things. But I remember that day when that Gideon handed me that little black testament, and I put it in my pocket, in my duffel bag it went. And that leads me to a story, a testimony that was given, and it's about the Vietnam era. There was a helicopter crew, they flew a Huey, and their mission was to take men in Vietnam to what was called LZs. There were hot LZs and there were cold LZs. The hot LZ signified that you could expect enemy ground fire to try to shoot your helicopter out of the sky. The cold one, you were going to go in, there was going to be no problems. You were going to disperse your troops, and you were going to leave and come back later and pick them up. They made an agreement among themselves. If they were ever shot down, they would not be taken alive. They would surrender only by taking their own life. They would all issue a 45 and they would put the gun to their head and pull the trigger. They were taking some soldiers, a platoon, to a hot LZ. And as fate would have it, a round pierced an important part of that aircraft and it crashed. And they all pulled their pistols out, they all put them to their foreheads, and they started to pull the trigger when one of them yelled, "Don't shoot, help is coming." And they heard the sound of an incoming helicopter. As they ran to jump on it, this guy reached out with one hand and pulled them on and handed them a testament with the other hand. And the fellow said, "You saved me, you saved me, thank you so much." And he said, "I may have gotten you out of this, but this book will save you." And so he was taken by that comment, and he goes back into his quarters that night, and he's reading. And the more he read, the more convicted he became, and he realized that he was a sinner, and he realized that his life would not be in heaven eternally. So he committed his life to the Lord, and long story short, he is a pastor in a church over in Fort Myers. Every year, Gideons have pastor appreciation banquet where we invite pastors in our area to come. We give them a meal. We put on a program for them. We always have a testimony speaker, someone who has been saved by a Gideon placement. And we've had that pastor several times. It's a truly remarkable story. As I said, we do distribution of testaments or Bibles in schools. Living in Palm Beach County, we cannot get into the classroom in public schools. Private schools, it's not a problem. Fortunately, our camp covers, as I said, from Canal Point on the east, Lakeport on the west, and Glazen-Hendry County, we can still get into the classrooms and make a presentation. And you go in, you tell how Christ has changed your life, you give your testimony, and then you said, does anybody here want a free testament? Hands go up, you hand them out, and then you're able to talk to the children. That is a wonderful experience. You're talking about your car wash and your car show. What a perfect time for a Gideon to be there and hand out testaments. So there's always opportunities, and that's why I say you grow in this ministry with the opportunities the Lord puts in front of you to hand out His Word. There's a story of a distribution in a school where, as I said, in Palm Beach County, you can't get in the classroom, so you hand out orange testaments on the street corner close to the school. I'm going to tell a story with Jim Coody. When I first got involved, Jim was instrumental, and he convinced me to go on a blitz to Miami to hand out testaments at schools and motels, etc., and hotels. And we were at this one middle school, and we're on the street corner, and I saw cars starting to pull in as school was about to get up. You know, parents were going to take the child home. And I noticed this line of cars, and this one car in particular. I noticed it because as school let out and we were handing out the Bibles, some kids were going to cars, getting in and going home. This one, no one went to, no one got in, and when finally everybody was gone, that car drove off. And I think I turned to Jim. I think he's the one that gave me the answer. I says, explain that to me. And he said, that's the drug dealer. They were waiting on kids to get out of school to sell them drugs. Because we're here today and the power of the Holy Spirit, he didn't sell a drug. You know, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It works. It works. So the other story is the same thing. It's a distribution on a busy corner across from a school. And they had handed out, two men, 199 testaments, just like this orange one. And realizing that they only had one more to go, one of the guys says, well, I hope the Lord will put somebody here that we can give this 200th testament to. And it said, like this fellow just dropped out of the sky. They turned around and there's this student with a headset on and a knit cap pulled down over his ear. So he walked over and said, young man, would you like to receive the 200th testament today? The boy said, sure. As he takes his headset and his cap off, the man says to him again, since this is the 200th testament, let's turn to page 200 in this testament and see what it says. And it turned out it was John chapter 15. And the young man said, wow, that's neat. My name is John and my birthday is the 15th. Well, about that time, the light changed, and the boy takes off reading his book. And the man said, you know, we were really on cloud nine. We had given out 200 testaments. Obviously, we hit somebody that it's just it's amazing how the Lord works. I'm encouraged. This young man's encouraged. He goes home. He's relating the story to his wife, and he's telling her what had happened. So they turn to John chapter 15. And they go to verse 16, and it says, you did not choose me, I chose you. Wow. He says that still gives him goosebumps every time he thinks about it. The Gideons are in 194 different countries, and we're expanding all the time. There are currently four camps in China, but they're not advertised as Gideon camps yet. It's kind of a trial to see how it works, to see how the government will allow this to continue. So I ask you, be in prayer about these Gideon camps in China, because one day we're going to be able to go into China, open up those four camps, and hopefully more thereafter. God just is continuing to work across this world. We have a goal. Gideons have a goal by the year of 2020 that we will be distributing 20 million copies of God's Word every year. Right now, we're at 78 million, and we have one more month to go. Well, actually, we've got about five more days to go. But But we'll have, I think we're going to make 20 million this year. It would be great if we did. But by the year 2020, which is roughly 7.5 years away, we're going to be doing that every year from that point on. So be in prayer about Gideon's and the work that they're doing. We print this little testament 93 different languages. The country of India is exploding. There are more Gideons there than most other countries other than the U.S. They are on fire. And this is a country that's heavily Muslim, Buddhist, Shinto, those different religions. But Christianity, although a very small percentage, is doing most of the evangelism now. They are really moving forward. Countries like India are unable to support the ministry, so basically the U.S. supports the Gideon camps in India. They say in one more year they won't need us. They'll be able to support themselves. Have one more testimony, and it's about jail ministry. And I'm going to give you a couple little stories. My church does a jail ministry, and because I'm a Gideon, I'm able to get into that jail, and I can distribute God's word again. We give them a Bible, and we give them a testament. And these are, this is called the Eagle Academy. They just closed it a year or so ago, but it was all about budget and problems there. But what a wonderful ministry it was. It takes kids, and they're not court-ordered to be in this program. It's a volunteer program with the parents, with the child, that they know they're headed for trouble if they don't get out of the environment they're in and get their lives redirected through school, start studying, start making use of the talent that God's given them. So they created this Eagle Academy. It's a military-type school structure. And so we go in there on Wednesday nights and we perform a church service. And we, just like any church, we sing, we have a program, and we pray, and the kids go back to their barracks and go to bed. I got a letter from one of them after it closed, because it's men, it's boys and girls, and they're roughly 8 to 15 or 16. Got a letter from a 12-year-old girl, and she said she wanted to thank the Gideons so much because that was the first time she had ever even seen a Bible, much less open it and read it. Well, I was just dumbfounded by that. I just couldn't believe that anybody in the United States had not seen a Bible. Understanding that, you know, if you're not from a background that is involved with God's work, you wouldn't be reading it, much like the doctor or the scientist. You would not be reading it. But she had never even seen one. So those kind of things just touch your heart to know that once again, you have placed God's word. Whatever happens, don't know. God's in control. This is the story, a testimony about a man who, for his entire life, living in Chile, that he was told, "You are worth nothing." He said he heard it his entire life. And he, through years of hearing all this, turned to alcohol, and he became an alcoholic. His marriage was also going down the drain at the same time. He had gotten involved in the military, and one day his commanding officer called him in and said, "I need to speak to you." He called him in, and he said, looked at him with disappointment and said, "Pasio, you are worth nothing. You're a troublemaker. You're a drunk. The best thing you could do is to kill yourself." Now, that's a terrible thing to tell someone. And he said, "But that would be a waste of a good bullet." So the guy goes home. He's really upset with what he had just been told by his commanding officer. He was upset about his life, the marriage that he was going, you know, the troubles he was having there. So he did. He pulled out his pistol, put it to his forehead, and he pulled the trigger. But God had a different plan. It misfired. And he's thinking, "Gosh, I can't even do this right. I cannot even kill myself." But he started thinking, he was standing there in the room, why it misfired, and he remembered a testament that, as I spoke earlier about Gideon's going to foreign countries, they had gone into this military post and handed out scriptures, handed out little books like this. And he started reading, and what he read convicted him, and he became a child of God. Today, the man's very active in the Gideon camp in San Diego, Chile. Those are the type of stories. They happen in Belgrade, they happen in Lake Worth, they happen throughout the world. They happen across this great country in which we live. Opportunities for men to hand scriptures, put them in someone's hand. But I said, we're not really about handing out Bibles. We're really about talking one-on-one. Handing out the Bibles is the way we get our foot in the door. We say, would you like a free gift? Would you like God's Word? It's a free gift. We do it on college campuses. I'm a Gator fan. I am proud to say I'm a Gator fan. I graduated from Florida State only because of my wife. Make it clear, it was not my intent. But I enjoy going to Gainesville when we do a blitz. We do it in November. And I enjoy going and handing out scriptures to boys and girls who are going to and from class. There was this young boy that was running between class. I tried to hand him a testament. He told me, no, he didn't have time. He was late. He comes back. I know you're not late now. Yes, I am. I'm late to another class. I don't have. He passed me four times. And I knew who he was after a while. And so I kept trying to give it to him. And he said, no, for the last time, I don't want it. And he got about 50 feet trying. He came back and says, hand it to me. I don't know what's going to happen there. Doesn't make any difference. God's going to work it out. God's going to work it out. How can you help? Real quickly, pray. Pray for this ministry. Lift it up. We always need prayer. Prayer to get back into schools. Prayer to get into different churches. Prayer that more men become part of this ministry. And that's the second part. Men, if you want to be a part of this ministry, talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to George Ball. He's the camp president for Lake Worth. But it's a way that it is so fulfilling. I said, as you grow in this, you grow spiritually. You'll recognize how much more you need to do for the Lord. The Lord tells us in the Great Commission, go ye therefore. And this is just part of it. We're going. The Memorial Bible Plan. You have a display at the back of the room, back of the sanctuary. It has three cards. There's an in memory card. And this card is used when someone that you know, dear to you, has passed away. You can purchase Bibles in their name, and knowing that every penny you give goes to purchase more Bibles, more scriptures. The in recognition card, graduations, birthdays, weddings, anniversaries. There's 100 different things you can think of. Same exact thing. You can purchase Bibles. Their name goes in the card. They receive a letter, or actually they'll receive the card saying that you have given these Bibles in their name. And then lastly is the thinking of you card. This is nothing special, just you're thinking about someone. I use it a lot. There's one fellow that I was in the Army with. He passed away about 10 years ago. And on the day of his death, the anniversary of that day, I send his wife one of these thinking of you cards, just in memory of him, because he and I had such a great friendship. And then lastly, as Don mentioned, you're able to give through your offering to this ministry. And again, I say, every penny you give goes to purchase Bibles. The overhead of this ministry is paid for out of the dues that each Gideon pays. $40 a year is all that we pay. Our wives, the auxiliary, our prayer partners, our prayer warriors, theirs is $20. So that's pretty darn good with a ministry of over 200,000 Gideons that $40 a person covers all of the overhead. We can purchase these little testaments, which we put out the average of one every 2 seconds for $1.24. So God is wonderful. Praise God. Lastly, I didn't mark my Bible that well. Let's see how quick I am at finding what I'm looking for. I should know this by heart, but I'm terrible at memory. But Isaiah 55:11 says, "So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me." This says empty, but void. I like that word better. "Without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter which I sent it." God's word has a powerful way of influencing people, influencing nations, influencing families. Don, thank you so much for the opportunity you have given me today. And I pray that anybody who has any interest in this organization, talk to me or talk to George. Thank you, sir.